1974, when I accepted Jesus as my Savior, and I've not been the same since. And I thank God for that. I brought a magician with me tonight, Brother Joe. You want to stand up there? And I'm gonna. Doesn't he look like a magician or something like that? Something that ought to be on America's Got Talent, huh? He looks sharp, doesn't he? I wish I could wear something like that, but my wife won't let me. Look, I'm going to have a good time whether you like it or not.
Amen.
Okay, I'm here. I'm for the Word of God, and I get the chance to preach, and so I'm going to have fun.
Amen.
And now, if you're one of those stick in the muds, I'm going to make you real uncomfortable tonight because I'm going to have fun. All right? But we're gonna use the Bible a little bit. You do use your Bible here. I mean, I know Brother Nash read it to you earlier. I didn't know if can they read? Okay, all right, well, that's good. Now, we're going to have fun. And poor Jeremiah, they locked him up there in that room. You know, Rapunzel, let down your hair. Turn to your Bibles, if you will, to Psalm chapter 12, and we're going to read one verse, and then we're going to go to the New Testament. And hopefully tonight I'm going to help you with something that in my years as a Christian, and in the ministry, I've seen some things, I've learned some things that I want to help you with. I'm here, I'm on your side, I'm not your enemy, I'm not here to preach at you, I'm here to preach for you and to help you, and if you'll let the Bible work in your life will be transformed, and God has a purpose and a plan for your life, but He's limited in what you'll let Him do. Isn't that something? We can limit God? Moses said the same thing. The Israelites limited the Holy One of Israel. They limited what God could do in their life. And so hopefully tonight that'll change if it's happened. If you have a desire to walk with God and to get closer to Him, I pray that'll happen tonight. And there's some things that we're going to look at an example of a man that oftentimes gets a bad rap. And that's Peter. And so we're gonna look at some scriptures here. Look at Psalm chapter 12. Look at verse 1. Now the psalmist, can you imagine him? He didn't say it like this. Help, help, Lord. No, it was help, Lord. Yeah. The godly man ceaseth. The faithful fail from among the children of men. In my years of being a Christian, I've seen great men fall. I've seen good men fall. I've seen pastors. I've seen deacons. I've seen Sunday school teachers. I've seen Christians. I have a friend of mine, probably one of my best friends. When I got saved, I used to run around with his older brother. And when I got saved that Sunday morning, I come up out of the basement of the church where they had the counseling room, and on the sidewalk there, he came running down the sidewalk and just was so excited. His name was Tommy. And he said, "Will, you got saved." I said, "Yes, I did." He said, "You coming back to church tonight?" I said, "What? What do you mean, tonight? Twice in the same day? No, I'm not coming back tonight." "Well, how about Wednesday night?" He said, "How about Bible study?" I said, "You have it on Wednesday night too." I said, "No, I'll see you next Sunday." Well, he was instrumental in my life. You know, you don't realize the impact you have on somebody, and especially if you give up on them. You know, you win somebody to the Lord, you keep going back to them as long as they'll talk to you. And Tommy kept after me, got me coming to Sunday night, got me coming Wednesday night, got me coming to some of the youth activities, the young people's activities. But he kept wanting me to go soul winning. And I, at that time, I was a carpenter. I was working construction. And every Friday night, I come home. And sometime, some point or another, he would call me and asked me to go soul with him Saturday morning He had a bus route over near Gettysburg, Pennsylvania. And I said, I'm not doing that. I ain't going out and tell people about Jesus. And so he called and they say, and I'd start thinking about things that I would had to do. And every Friday night he called me. And I felt so bad, I got convicted because I lied to him. And I'll never forget, it was rainy and damp out Friday night, come home, I was tired. And he called and I answered, as soon as I said, I shouldn't have picked the phone up, I knew who it was. And hey Will, how you doing? Hey, why don't you go soul with me tomorrow on my bus route? And I'm thinking, and I thought up something, and I said, no, Tom, I can't. I got to do this tomorrow. I really can't do it. And there was a silence on the other end that was deafening. I asked Tommy. He said, Will, you're the busiest man I know. He couldn't have hit me any harder with a 2x4. And I said, okay. That next morning, he picked me up. We went, not literally picked me up. It's a little hard for him to do. But in his car, he picked me up. So we're going over towards Ortana, Gettysburg area. I said, Tom, I don't know what to say. He said, well, just tell him how you got saved. So we pulled into this big house, had a porch all the way around it. It was still raining out and damp. I said, oh, okay. So we got out of the car. He went one way, and I went around the corner. And there was this little girl on a bike bouncing a ball. And so I went up to her and started talking to her, kidding around with her. And I eventually said, you know you're going to heaven when you die? She said, no. I said, would you like to know? She said, yeah. So we prayed, and she got saved, and that's when God called me into the ministry. I didn't hear an audible voice, but it was plain as day in my life. God says, I want you to do this for the rest of your life. Amen. Then things turned around. I decided to go to Bible college, and I was calling Tommy up. Tommy, you ought to go to Bible college. And how that changed. But from that time until now, I've seen great men who have fallen. And I think about, let's turn now to Luke chapter 22. Luke chapter 22. And I want to look at Peter. We know Peter denied the Lord. Yes, he did. But I want you to learn some things about Peter. It'll help you. It'll also help you when you study 1st and 2nd Peter. And when you look at the context in which Peter, in frame of mind in which he was writing these from his own experiences. In Luke chapter 22, look at verse 31. And the Lord said, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath a desire to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. But I've prayed for thee, and that thy faith fail not. And when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren. And he said unto him, Lord, I'm ready to go with thee both into prison and into death. And he said, I tell thee, Peter, the cock shall not crow till this day before thou shalt thrice deny that thou knowest me. Now you think about this. How many times have you and I made a commitment to the Lord that, well, I'll never do that again, or God, I'm going to start doing this again. God, if you'll just let me, I'll do this for you again. And we make promises. And here Peter, in all of his sincerity, he says, Lord, I'll go to prison for you. Lord, I'll even lay down my life and die for you. And Jesus turned to him and said, you know, Peter, Satan wants to sift you like wheat. You know how they take wheat and they throw it up in the air and the wind blows and separates the chaff from the wheat? That's exactly what the devil wants to do. He wants to separate us from our fellowship with God. He wants to keep us from doing what God wants us to do. And that's what Jesus told Peter. He says, Satan desires. It's his motive. It's his goal. He wants to destroy you. But Peter wants you to know something. I'm praying for you. I'm praying for you, Peter, that your faith will not fail. Oh, Peter, you're going to fall. Oh, Peter, you're going to make some mistakes. In fact, Peter, before this day's over, when the cock crows, you're going to deny me 3 times. Oh, I'll die for you. I'll go to prison for you. No, Peter. But I said, I'm praying for you. That when you do that, he says, when thou art converted, when thou art changed, he says, strengthen the brethren. You know how he did that? Well, he learned a valuable lesson. Go over to chapter verse 60. He already denied Jesus twice. And he said, I don't know the man. I don't know what you're talking about. I give it to Peter, the fact that there wasn't any others that were there that followed him. He was there by himself. It says that he stood afar off. Then he came up and sat down to fire. And every time they come up and said to him, aren't you with that Jesus guy? No, I don't. Man, I don't know who you're talking about. That's not me. But look at the third time that happened here in verse 60. And Peter said, man, I know not what thou sayest. And immediately, while he yet spake, the cock crew. Now, folks, here's something. Look, when we look at this next verse, put yourself in that situation. Have you ever denied the Lord? I've never said. How about denying him in your life? How about denying him in your church attendance? How about denying him in your tithe? You mean you never denied the Lord? Of course we have. We're all sinners. But now watch. Peter denied the Lord. And then look at verse 61. And the Lord turned and looked upon Peter. Oh, oh, oh. Like your mama looked at you when you did something wrong. I could confess before I even knew my mother knew it. She'd look at me. She had that look about her that she could get me to confess. I'd say, how did you know that I did it? She said, I didn't. Jesus was standing all alone, probably tied. And when that cock crowed, and after Peter said, I don't know what you're talking about, looked into his soul, looked right through his eyes down into his very soul. Can you be there? Can you see that? If you had, you should be. You should be. When we get close to a holy and righteous God, we begin to see our sinfulness. Oh, we live in a day and age where we want to be pretty Christians. We want to go to Staples and get us one of them easy buttons. That was easy. I live a Christian life. Oh, well, that was easy. I read my Bible. I understood that. That was easy. That's the kind of Christianity the world wants. Very popular today. But it's not popular with God. Look what he said. He turned and looked upon Peter. Watch what Peter does. And Peter remembered the word of the Lord. Conviction. Conviction set upon him. You see, knowing your Bible is so important. Understanding the Bible, hearing teaching and preaching of the Bible is so important. Because that's what the Holy Spirit uses upon us when we hide that word in our mind and memorize it and meditate upon it and we study it. That's what God uses to begin to convert us, to change us, to transform us. But see, if you don't know the Bible, you don't read the Bible, you don't have to worry about that. Huh? He said he remembered the word of the Lord. How that he had said to him, before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice. What was Peter's response now to this? It says Peter went out and wept. No, it said he wept bitterly. Such conviction, such sorrow for my sin. You know, I hear Brother Nash, and I like this verse, your version better than Brother Fry's, because I know you. I don't know him. But to sing those words about the old man is dead, I would be ashamed, embarrassed for you to know my sinful past and my sinful life. I'm ashamed and embarrassed of it. But thank God, I'm a new man. You know what? I hang on to Hebrews 8:12 and 10:17 when God said, "Thy sins and thy iniquities I remember no more." Oh man, I'm telling you what. Now I remember. And the devil tries to bring them up in my mind, in my past, and say, "Look what you, how can you get up there and preach the Word of God?" Because I'm a new man. The old man is dead. Huh? See, Satan don't want you to know that. He doesn't want you to know the truth. Because you know, either you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you from what? Free from what? Free from the power of sin on your life. Free from the memory of sin in your life. Free from its power and influence over you. He'll set you free when you know the truth. But you got to know the truth. Peter understood that now because he remembered those words. And he got convicted and allowed God to do His work. Now turn with me to 1 Peter. 1 Peter chapter 5. 1 Peter is right before 2 Peter, in case you're looking. Thank you. Yes, I just thought I'd throw that in there. It's a little extra. 1 Peter chapter 5, look at verse 5. Now, Peter's right, and Peter's the first Peter is talking about persecution. Whether you do right or you do wrong, you're going to get persecuted. But if you're going to get persecuted because you're doing what's right. Persecution helps to purify the Christian and the church. We're going to get persecuted if we live right, if we do right, because the devil doesn't like it. But watch this, look at verse 5. "Likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder." Good advice. "Yea, all you be subject one to another, and be clothed with humility. For God resisteth the proud, and giveth grace to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, for that He may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon Him, for He careth for you." Now watch this. Peter learned a lesson back then. The Lord said, "Peter, Satan hath a desire to sift you like wheat." Now look at verse 8. Peter says, "Be sober, be vigilant." Why? "Because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour." Peter used the devil like a roaring lion. I had to be careful. After I got saved, they asked me to teach a Sunday school lesson to preschoolers. And I preached on the lion's den. Okay, Daniel in the lion's den. And they said, now, I said, "I don't know what to, how, you know." They said, "Well, use a lot of expressions, and because they're little kids, and you need to keep their attention." So when I preached in the lion's den, I got up and I said, and they threw Peter into that lion's, or I mean, Daniel into that lion's den, and those lions, they went, "Rah!" These kids started crying. I overdid a little bit, you know. But Peter, that's how he sees the devil. That's how you and I ought to see him too. Like a lion. It was Richard Wurmbrand. I heard him give his testimony after he was released back in the early 70s. Came to our church. He was a Lutheran pastor in Russia. I think it was Russia. And he talked about the torture. He was in prison because he was a minister over there. And he preached the gospel. And he told about things that they did to them while they were imprisoned. They had asked to take communion. And they begged them and begged them. And finally, they said, okay. But they forced them to take communion with their own urine and feces. Richard Wurmbrand said, parents that had small children or children that were of age where they expressed a desire to be saved said that they would take them to the zoo at feeding time, to the lion's den. and stand them up there. And as they were throwing the meat into the lions, and they would watch them fight over it and devour it. And the parent says, you accept Jesus as your Savior. That could be you. To their children. Do you think they thought about it for a little bit? He said they still would get saved. Peter saw that devil as a lion seeking whom he may devour. Well, who's the whom? Whom he may devour? Oh, the unsaved. Yes, we know that. He's already got the unsaved like he had us. But now we're saved. Oh, he wants to devour the young Christians because they're weak. And yeah, that's true. But that's not who Peter's talking to right now. Look at your Bible. Let your Bible explain it for you. Look at verse 8 again. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. Look at verse 9. We'll interpret the whom. Who's he want to devour? Whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. If you're here tonight and you're committed to Christ, to living for Him, to reading your Bible every day, studying it, meditating upon it, you're committed about being faithful to church, and you're committed to living right and doing right by God, and you've surrendered yourself to Him, you're the one that He wants to devour, because you're the one that cares for others and cares for their soul. You're the one that He's out to get. And you're the one that He's out to get. And you're the one, if you are living for Him, that's who He wants. He wants to devour, to destroy them. So Peter says, that devil, he wants to devour you. Go to 2 Peter now, chapter 1. Probably one of my favorite chapters is 2 Peter chapter 1. We're not get into the whole chapter, but we're going to look at it, because Peter now gives us a formula. What Peter has learned. Remember, Peter rejected Christ and he fell. He remembered His word and he was convicted. And now he's repented of his sin and he's teaching others. Look at verse 1. Simon Peter, a servant, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior Jesus Christ. Grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. According as His divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness. How? Through the knowledge of Him that hath called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceedingly great and precious promises, that by these, the great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. And besides this, giving all diligence to add to your faith virtue, to virtue knowledge, to knowledge temperance, to temperance patience, to patience godliness, to godliness brotherly kindness, to brotherly kindness charity. Now watch this statement. If these things be in you and abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Notice the repetition of words. The word knowledge. Through the knowledge. Peter now is giving us something that's going to help us, because the devil's like a lion and he wants to devour us. And he says, in verse 2, he says, through that our peace and our grace can be multiplied. How? Through the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. How do we know about Jesus? That book that you have in your hand? Through knowledge of Jesus. Grace and peace can be multiplied. How can we have victory? Look at verse 3, he says, His divine power, the Holy Spirit's power, hath given unto us all that we need that pertains unto life and godliness. How? Through the knowledge of Him that has called us to glory and virtue. Now watch. Here's how Peter views the Bible. He says, Whereby are given unto us exceedingly great and precious promises, that by these promises, by the Word of God, ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. Knowledge of your Bible, studying your Bible. I'm not talking about just reading it. And you ought to read it through. You ought to read it through. But you ought to memorize it. And you ought to meditate upon it. And everything that you hear here from this pulpit, Sunday school or your Sunday school teacher, everything you hear that man preach, because I know he loves God. His wife said so. But everything you hear, he loves the Bible, loves God. When you hear that he teaches it, you ought to be telling somebody else about it. The best way for you and I to learn the Bible is to teach it to somebody. Well, I'm not a Sunday school teacher. Well, I'm not a teacher. Oh, yes, you are. You may not want to admit it, but you teach your kids. You teach your grandkids. You try to teach your grandkids anyway. Huh? Yeah, we're all to be teaching. And when you teach that, it embeds it in your mind even further. And you begin to know it. You begin to learn it. And once you know it and learn it, now situations come into your life. You have a decision to make. People, I hear it all the time. Oh, I don't know what to do, Brother Williamson. I have a decision to make. I don't know how to make it. Why don't I make sure the right one? When you live by the Word of God, the Holy Spirit will take the principles of God and you ask God for wisdom. God will give it to you. Problem is, people don't want to study. See, you done are graduated from high school and you done quit studying. You want one of them easy buttons, don't you? I see me at the service, I got a couple. No. But that, folks, that's true. Christianity today, the Hollywood Christianity today, that contemporary Christianity today is a stench to the very nostrils of God. Our forefathers, our Baptists that have died and have been burned alive just to hold a copy of the Bible, been skinned to death, mutilated, tortured. We have them sitting around all over the house and don't even open them up and study them. Shame on us. Peter says, if you want to keep from falling, these things need to abound in your life. Look at verse 10. He goes on. He doesn't stop here. Verse 10. Let me read. Well, I'm sorry. Let's look at verse 9. I jumped a verse here. He said, verse 8 says, If these things be in you and abound, they shall make you that you shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 9. But he that lacketh these things. There's those two words again. These things. What things? The exceedingly great and precious promises of God. He that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. How many times? I don't know how many times I've been out soul winning, Brother Nash, and I've talked to somebody, and I'd ask him, I'd say, if you were to die today, do you know for sure you're going to heaven 100% if you die? Oh, no. I'd probably bust hell wide open, huh? I'm not saved. No, I don't know that. So I go through the plan of salvation with him. I get to the end, and I say, would you let me help you with a prayer where you accept Jesus as your personal Savior? And I'll go, well, I've already done that. They lack these things. They lack the knowledge of this Word. I teach my Sunday school class. You base your Christian life on three things, three F's. You base upon facts, faith, and feelings. But they have to be in that order. I'm dating myself here. Remember the old... You don't remember. You remember the old television show Dragnet? Yeah. And oh, here we go. I got a believer back here. Dragnet. The guy is Friday and his partner. And they start... They were in Texas and they go around and they'd interview people. And the witness would start going off on something. And he had a little pencil and paper. And he'd go, "Ma'am, just the facts. I want just the facts." You see, the fact in that book that you hold, these things, those exceedingly great and precious promises, is what God uses, what the Holy Spirit uses, and what you and I need to base our Christian life on. Not faith first. You say, "Well, I have great faith." Well, you have faith in what? What do you have faith in? Well, bless God, I think. Well, you know that. What was that thing that came out? WWJD. What would Jesus do? And I had people go, "Oh, I think Jesus would do this. I think he would do that." Well, that's good. I don't want to know what you think. If you want to know what Jesus would do, look in that book. See, they didn't have an easy button. See, neither do you. And that's why you must know the Word of God, the facts. I don't know about you, but there's time. I can remember I got up early one morning. I had to go to the bathroom. And I was walking through the dark, and my wife let this antique ironing board out. This thing weighed a ton. It was an Edsel of ironing boards. Not these flimsy things that you have now. I mean, they wind blows and they fall. Not this thing. This thing was a Titanic. This thing was unmovable. I know, because I stumped my toe. I think I broke it. Oh! Huh? I don't know where I was going with that, but I saw it was funny. Yes! I did not feel... Stay out of my preaching, bro. Always wanted to say that to him. If I went by my feelings, I spoke several different languages. English being one of them, that was foreign language. Still foreign to me. But if you put your feeling or your faith before facts, it's a roller coaster. Your feelings change. Huh? Like a roller coaster. Huh? And that's what... Now, that's why you have to put the facts. What's the Bible? Don't raise your hand. Okay, how many, when you do something wrong and you feel convicted, you know it. You sin and you did wrong. Whew. Like when, if Jesus looked at you and you did something and Jesus looked at you and you go, "Oh God, I'm God. I'm guilty." You get on your knees and with tears, praying and ask God to forgive you. You get up. You come to the altar and you pray and you get up and you start walking back to your seat and you sit down. Little voice says, "That was too easy. You're not really forgiven. No, that it don't work like that. That was too wicked. That was too terrible." How many times have you done that and you think that just by asking God to forgive you, that He's going to forgive you? It's just too easy. You ever been there? Well, you confess your sins, you might find that experience. But here it is. That's feelings. What's the fact? What's the facts of the Bible? My Bible tells me if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from some? All! Okay. First part of that verse is ours. If we confess. Notice John used the word if. Huh? That's optional. But he said, if you'll confess them, the rest of it's God. God is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Now, can God lie?
No.
Then why do we doubt when we get up from praying and asking God to forgive us that we're not forgiven? Feelings. You got the feelings, faith, and facts. But when you know the Bible, you know those great and precious promises, you know what God says, and you claim those promises, you know that it is a lie from the devil right out of hell. Because God does not lie. And he said if we'll do something, God is faithful and just to do it. Huh? Peter learned that. Now watch. He said I could preach as long as I wanted. I had 3 sermons. I didn't sure which one I wanted, so I'm going to preach all 3. Wow. Now, okay. Peter says, look. Peter says, these folks have forgotten because they were not growing. 2 Peter is about knowledge. And it's about spiritual growth. But these folks were not growing. They were not, the grace, those virtues were not abounding in them. There was no knowledge of them. So they were blind. They couldn't see afar. They couldn't see the danger around them because they had nothing to guide them, no light. And then they forgot that they were even saved. Watch, look at verse 10. Wherefore, the rather, brother, give diligence. He used that word 3 times, once in 1 Peter and twice in 2 Peter. He says, wherefore, rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if you do, there's those 2 words again, if you do these things, ye shall never what? Now, who's telling us that? Peter? Did Peter fall? But remember, God didn't say he would never fall, but that he could get back up. See, the Christian life is about getting back up. You and I are sinners saved by grace. Huh? When it would be so nice if we got saved that God would just poof and we'd never sin again. Wouldn't have problems, hey, everything's fine, no questions. That's not the case. He knew that we needed grace and mercy. And that's why he said, look what he says here. He said, if you'll do these things, you'll not fall and stay down. When I played football in high school and college, they never taught us how to fall. They always taught us to get back up. And that's the thing about, that's the key to Christian life, is getting back up. But you won't get back up if you don't know these things, if you don't know the truths of the Bible, because you're no match, and I'm no match for the devil. We are not. The mind is so complex. Let me ask you something. Where do you live? Yes. Is that a tough question? Where do you live? Same place? In a house? Okay, good. Where do you live, brother? West Virginia, where do you live? Okay. That's where you sleep and eat. You may hang out there. But right here's where you live. 24/7, 365, you can't escape it. Right there is where the battle goes on. That's why the devil comes at our mind and he attacks our mind. And he attacks our flesh. You and I are born with an old sinful flesh that had an appetite and has a desire and a lust to sin. Hey, sin is pleasurable. Who said it? For a season, till it gets its hooks into you. I mean, let's think about it. If sin was painful, we do something with sin, so, and God strikes with lightning. Oh yeah, I want to go out and do that again. Sure, yeah. That's the way the devil works. He appeals to your flesh. And we sin every time we give place to our flesh. We make provisions for the flesh. Romans tells us, Paul tells us in Romans, when you feed your flesh, you're going to sin. But he's given us a born-again nature. He tells us in Ephesians 4 and Colossians 3 that we have a new man, a new nature that's holy, righteous, where the Holy Spirit dwells inside of us. That's not corruptible. There is no sin there. And when we surrender to Him, we can walk in newness of life. And the old man's dead and has no power over us. You see, that's knowledge of the Bible. And every day, you and I choose who we're going to feed. Feed our flesh, we're going to sin. Feed our new nature, and that's where we have victory. And Peter knew that. And he says, if you'll do these things, you'll never fall. Now, I got to wind down here, land this plane sometime sooner or later. Couple things here. Watch this. Look at verse 12. Peter says, wherefore, I will not be negligent to put you always... Now notice this word. Remembrance. See, he doesn't want you to forget. Okay? In verse 9, they forgot. He says, to put you in remembrance of their... What is it? What's those next two words? These things. Though you know them and are established in the present truth. I don't care how long you are saved. You know, 1974, 2017. How long is that? What? I'm not listening to you. Trying to tell you. Well, I can tell you to take some years off. That'd be, 40, how many?
43.
Okay, 43. You know what? years. I could walk around. I know the Bible, yeah. I've been in ministry. I knew that. I can think pretty much of myself. Think, oh, I'm a good Christian. Oh, I'm doing that. Then I come to a verse in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 12. And Paul says, let him that thinketh he stand, take heed, lest he fall. When you think you've arrived, even Paul said in Philippians, I have not yet apprehended. I have not yet arrived. And none of us do until we get into heaven. When you think you are strong, that's when God can't work in us. Peter says these things. He says, I'm going to put them in remembrance. Whether you know them or not, or whether you're established in them, he said, I'm going to keep reminding you. Look at verse 13. Yea, I think it meet, as long as I am in this tabernacle, to stir you up by putting you in remembrance. The preacher is called of God to stir you up.
Yes, sir.
To motivate you, to excite you, to encourage you, to help you. When you fall, he's there to help you get back up. You say, but he'll think this about me. He'll think I'm not a good Christian. Well, he already knows that. Because none of us are. And we're all capable. When I played football, you know, they said, if you're not paying attention, you're not focused on what's going on, you know what's going to happen to you, Williamson? You're going to get knocked down. And that's so true. And that's still true in my Christian life. If I get careless in my Christian life, when I think, I don't have to read my Bible, I don't have to pray because I've been doing this for so long, I can skip, I can go without, it ain't going to hurt me. The devil sits back and says, come on, come on. I'm going to get you, boy. I'm going to get you. That's right. You are. Oh, you're shining, son. Look at you. You got something to boast about. Oh, yeah. About that time, bam. Peter says, I'm going to stir you up. One more. Look at this. Another one. I like when words are repeated. And it wasn't that God ran out of things to say. God always repeats himself when he's emphasizing something. Look at verse 15. Moreover, Peter says, I will endeavor that you may be able after my decease to have these things always in remembrance. Now wait a minute. Here, remember Psalm 12, 1? Help, Lord! They're falling left and right. They're ceasing. They're failing. Help! Here's where people make mistakes. You sit in a pew, You don't read your Bible and pray, but you follow that man right there. Oh, look at that son. Boy, he's... That's a face only a wife could love. No, man, he is something. I love to hear him sing. Oh, he's a... Man, he's got such a personality. And funny. Oh, but his looks aren't everything. Oh, that guy's funny. Yes. Oh, man, I'm going to follow him. And then you get a news. And he falls. And you go right down with him. Last year at this time, I was a moderator for the split. But the church I had been attending for 10 years, was on staff part-time, went through a split. And there's people that haven't survived. People that are out of church. They're not serving God. They don't want they're not reading their Bible. Why? They followed a personality. Peter's goal was, I'm going to teach you these things. I want to remind you of these things. I want to stir you up. So you live them and you do them and you make them personal and you know them. So that after I'm dead and gone, you still remember these things and you follow them. Yes. That you follow truth. I told my pastor... Right now, Frederick Baptist, Pastor C, great man. We're there because of his family. I told him that. I had a chance to go to North Carolina, and I chose to go take my family to Frederick Baptist because we went to church there, and I watched. I watched his daughters. I watched his son. I just sat back and watched and observed. And they're everything that Dad is. That's the kind of church I want my family to be in. The preacher practices what he preaches. And it's evident in his family. Oh, we can build a big church, Brother Nash. Man, we could really rock the place out here and have all kinds of fleshly things and activities for the people to come in and fill these pews up. Oh, man, we could have it going on. For what? You lose your family. You're done. Peter says, I want you to live these things after I'm gone. One more and then I'm done. Did I say that last time? I was just kidding. Okay. 2 Peter chapter 3. Look at verses 17 and 18. Peter closes this out and says, ye therefore beloved. That word beloved means well-pleasing. Well-pleasing to God. Ye therefore beloved, seeing ye know, what's those two words? These things before, beware, lest ye also, being led away with the error of the wicked, fall from your steadfastness. How can we avoid that? Grow in grace. And in the, what is it? Knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. There it is, folks. Peter took his failures, turned him around. I think it was 50 days after he denied Christ. Christ was Peter gathered 120 together out in the upper room. He prayed and he preached, and about 3,000 souls were saved. Peter got back up. Remember, Jesus said, "I'm going to pray for you that your faith fail not, and that you'll convert to brethren." And now he writes 1 and 2 Peter, so that you and I will grow in grace and in the knowledge of the Lord, and that we will not fall because we know these things. Amen? Let's bow our head and close our eyes. Folks, I've looked forward to this time, and I want to challenge you tonight. The ladies are going to come, and we're going to have an invitation where I want to challenge you, bring the remembrance. Maybe as I spoke tonight, the Holy Spirit brought into remembrance something in your life that's wrong or sinful. And there was a look from our Lord that convicted you. You need to take care of that. Don't build up a long sin list, a debt. Confess it. Repent of it like Peter did. And God will bless you. God will lift you up. You humble yourselves and confess that sin. Take care of it. No, I'm not asking what it is. But God knows, and you know. If they call it a remembrance, that maybe you're here tonight and the Lord's called to remembrance how you used to read your Bible more. And how you used to study it. And how you used to memorize it. Maybe He's bringing that to your remembrance. Maybe He's bringing your to remembrance how you used to pray and spend time with Him. And you know, He saved us so that we could spend time in eternity with Him. Maybe you're not reading your Bible and you're not praying as much as you used to. God's called into remembrance. Maybe tonight that you're not as faithful at some of the things that God's commanded us to do. When the doors are open, being here. Maybe you've called remembrance a time when you used to serve. You used to get involved. Now you come, and you come on services. That's good. But that's as far as it goes. The Holy Spirit's speaking to your heart tonight. And God's trying to stir you up to getting back in the service for the Lord. Maybe, I don't know, maybe he's brought to your mind the fact that you used to tithe, or you've never tithed, but God's been dealing with you about it, and He's trying to convict you about that. You say, well, that's my money. No, you might think it is, but God will get it one way or another. It's His. He gave you the health, the mind, the opportunity to earn it. He asked for 10% of it, but He asked for 100% of you. He wants you more than He wants your money, but He won't get you if you won't give Him the 10%, the money. Don't let that hinder you. I'm here tonight to challenge you to grow, to be adding to your faith. If you're not going forward in the Christian life, you're going backwards. And remember, Satan desires to have you and sift you like wheat. I don't want to see you fall. I don't want you to be. When I come back again, I want to see you here, and I want to see this church thriving and God blessing. Why? Because this church is doing these things and they're abounding. As the ladies begin to play, God's speaking to your heart. I'm turning it over to the Lord now. If you do what God spoke to your heart, the altar is here for you.